Very thankful that He is everything that we need this morning. Whatever the battle, the trial, the affliction, whatever your work life entails or home life entails, the Lord is indeed everything that we need, and He's there to minister to us. Desire and interest in your prayers this morning. Very needy of the Holy Spirit to bless His Word today. Want to say that as I was praying about this meeting, and I had a lot on my plate, and it wasn't just about convenience, as I'm sure many of you are here not out of convenience, and I was asking the Lord whether I was supposed to come or not, and I said, Lord, if you for sure want me to come, I want you to give me specifically what you want. And the Lord immediately gave me this message. And I want to say in defense of your pastor, I know him pretty well. He does not talk about you all. So this message is from the Lord, and maybe no one here needs it at the moment. But it's not directed at anybody. It's the Word of God. So I just want to say that in case someone wonders, I wonder what he's preaching. He's been listening to someone. I've been listening to the Lord. So the title of the message this morning is Living It at Home. Ask an interest in your prayers. Christian living is not just about what we believe. It's how we live. And living starts where? Starts at home, doesn't it? Living for God is much more about how we live. It's about our character. It's about our attitudes. It's about our devotion than a correct theological construct. You see, doctrines are very important. I value greatly the doctrinal teachings of the Word because they do make a difference in our understanding of what God expects and what He wants out of us. But we can have all of the doctrines down to a T, and we can have all of the head knowledge, and we can have a proper history of the church, and we can be part of a group of people in a fellowship as we are here this morning. And yet, if we are not living with the basic graces of Christ in our home, we have missed the essence of Christian living. Because home is where it starts. And I want to challenge us, live it at home. Living it at home. We come to service and we listen to the preaching and we sing and we pray, and well, we should. But true Christian living isn't just about what happens in these four walls. It's much more about how we are living at home. The relationship that is between husbands and wives. The relationship that is between parents and their children. And the Lord is very interested in our homes being stable. He's very interested in our homes being a place that is a refuge from the turmoil that is in the world. Because our world is in trouble. There's chaos all around us. There's sin, there's strife, there's anger, there's bitterness. And we need a place that's a refuge from those things. Remember, just recently I was in a country, and right underneath when I flew in, I had to get a place to stay, and right under where I was staying under my room, the police were out with, there were protesters and tear gas was being shot. And I've been in a number of places like that. You know, it's something to be able to just come home, separated from the turmoil, from the tear gas. You know, there's a lot of homes though, there's a lot of tear gas going on, it'll make you cry. See, that's what tear gas does. There is a lot, there are many homes that aren't the refuge. It's representative in our world of the strife and the chaos that's going on. And as children of God this morning, our home should be a place that we are together in unity with a common love for God. And the Lord wants to bless homes this morning. It does not mean that there aren't challenges. For those that have been married, for those that have had children, there are challenges that present themselves. Even, it's like our relationship with God. There are valleys in our relationship with God. And there are mountains. But there should be a consistent devotion and a consistent motivation. Lord, I want to please you. That should carry over into our homes and in the relationships that are there. That while maybe there are challenges, that our purpose and our goal is, Lord, I want to have the grace of Christ to get through this valley with the same love and devotion for my spouse and the children like I should. Yes. And it might be for the young people and children here that your relationship with your parents, that you are motivated and challenged even when it seems like mom and dad don't get it. And they actually get it more than what you think. But when it feels like they don't, that you would be challenged to say, Lord, I love you, and this is where Christian living starts. Starts at home. So there is a passage of Scripture in Proverbs 24 chapter, beginning with verse 3. He said, though wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. See, wisdom, through wisdom, is a house builded. The world has a lot of philosophies about marriage, about parenting, and about relationships. But when I look at the philosophies of the world, I have to ask, is it working? And I don't find that what the world is offering with all of the education and all the philosophy and psychology that's out there, I don't find marriages being stronger and happier and more productive. I don't find young people being more content and at peace. We see more chaos in our world, which means we need to look somewhere else in the world for our answers. We can go to all of the seminars that you want, and there's another place put a lot of caution on those. I'm not saying they're all wrong, but I put a lot of caution on it. Because what seminars, many of them do, will pump you up, and then you will go back to the home same problems unless you get hold of a deeper wisdom. And that's what the Scripture gives us. Through wisdom, a house is builded. And so then we want to turn our attention to the Word of God, because it says, by understanding it's established, and by knowledge, shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You see, a godly home is more than just the four walls there too. It's built with wisdom and understanding, and then inside you will find pleasant things. What is the condition of your home this morning? Do you know God wants to bless your home today? God wants your home to be a refuge. He doesn't want to He doesn't want it to be a place that you fear going to. He wants it to be a place that you can look forward. I'm going home. And what I find there in the relationships have been built, not on men's wisdom, but they have been built and founded on the principles of the Word of God. Sometimes people spend a lot of time in trying to be sure that their image, how they are perceived, looks good. But what's going on in the home, that's much more important than how I perceive you this morning. You see, we can come together and we put on our church face, but what's your home face? You see, someone told me, unfortunately, they said, yeah, they come to service. They said, I wish my wife would treat me this way when we got home. In other words, they have their church face on. Everybody's looking, and so they're all accommodating and loving. And the things you think, well, they have got a wonderful relationship. And his testimony was, I wish she'd treat me like this at home. The Lord knows what's in your home, and if you have challenges, the Lord is interested in helping you start to build, but it's going to come building with wisdom. There is order. There is a godly order and structure to the home. And God is a God of order. God is not interested in chaos. He's a God of order. He set up an order in His church. He set up an order in the home. And when things are in their proper order, they're going to run more smoothly. Well, think about a choir. You get a choir together, just even this group here this morning. If when the song title was called and we all just sang whatever note we wanted, the timing was however we felt it, what do you think it would sound like? It wouldn't sound good, would it? Now, I know with music, there are some songs. We sang one last night. I think it was 118. I wish it would have been written differently. I guess I'm not the only one. It's good, but there's a little place I think it could have been improved. And at home, I'll sing it like I want, and it's different than you sing it. But it still kind of fits in. You know, we can do that with music if we want, but when it comes to God's Word, it's not about our opinions then. You see, well, I kind of think in the home, or I kind of think in this situation, it would be better to do it this way. Folks, the best way is God's way. And it rises, and so when my flesh struggles with God's way, it means there should be a place of submission, because the Lord has given us a plan to bring about the most harmonious homes, the most harmonious relationships, as we follow our conductor and as we read the music. We want to look into the music just a little bit. I'm very aware that there could be a series on this. So this is kind of a compact touching on some things that I believe the Lord would have us get hold of and be reminded of. The Lord's interested in peace in your home. The world has made a lot of inroads in trying to tear down the biblical structure of the home. Book of Hosea 14:9. Hosea 14, or 4 rather. Let me get here. No, it's 14 verse 9. He said, "Who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them." So the way of the Lord is right. Do we agree with that this morning? Is the way of the Lord right? So when my way is in conflict with God's way, we should say, "Lord, I want your way."
Right.
Marriage is between a man and a woman. In the beginning, God created a man and He created a woman. Said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother." You know, there's a key to some harmonious relationships right there. Husbands, leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. You want to see marriage problems? When paying parents, there's a message for them, for you too. Don't dabble in the relationship of your children who are married unless you are invited by both of them. Because if not, it will cause greater trouble and it will cause more chaos and strife. Well, marriage is between a man and a woman. It says he shall cleave to his wife and they shall be one flesh. The world is trying to normalize unions other than between a man and a woman. And that in and of itself, in our neighboring country to the north, and in many countries, this is considered hate speech to even make that comment. And very likely it will soon be in this country. We cannot be influenced. There are some other things we're going to read in the Scripture that are not popular anymore, because it doesn't go along with the woke mentality of our world. And yet, living this way will bring the strongest relationships in the home. So, although the media is inundating us with trying to normalize ungodly relationships, as a people, we need to continue to preach, teach, and live what the Bible says. If it's outlawed, if it becomes unpopular, and what's happening more and more, and on this issue, maybe everybody here is comfortable, but there may be a few other scriptures here that we may say, but maybe we don't want someone to be uncomfortable. And thus goes compromise among God's people when we fail to continue to teach the whole Word of God out of fear of offending someone that might not be espousing that teaching. I trust that we can get hold of that this morning. We need to be very careful that we turn to the Word and not forsake the preaching of this truth. So there is some instruction. We're talking about living it at home. There is some instruction that the Scripture gives us to the husbands. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and I took note recently, I told my wife, I said, used to you would hear these passages read at about every wedding you went to. And anymore, it's almost more of an oddity to hear it. You don't hear it near as much as you used to, but it's still the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, for the husband is what? Is that almost hard for anybody to say? Do you know what's made it that way? It's the world. It said the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ. Now this gives some context to what Paul is saying. He's not saying that a man is to be domineering. It doesn't say that a man is to rule over his wife and she's to be the doormat. It says a man is the head, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Lord, help us to live it out, husbands, as Christ gave himself, as Christ loved the church, as Christ is the head of the body. We don't see Christ relating to us dictating, do we? We see Christ as a shepherd who is leading and guiding by example. He is the head of his church. And so as husbands, we are called to be shepherds of the home. That's what it means to be the head of the wife. To lead by example, to lead by instruction, to lead by love. Because the 25th verse says it this way, husbands, love your wives. All right, so living it. What's it? See, this is Christianity. This is Bible doctrine. And we could say, but I can talk to you about Revelation, and I can talk about what the Scripture says about the end of time, and I can get into all these deep theological things. But my question is, how are we living it? At home. Husbands, love your wives. That's where Christian living begins, is with that love. And he said, as he loved, as their own bodies, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself for it. Do you know this would take care of a lot of marriage issues that are going on if the men would step up? Right. See, they're called to be the head, aren't they? If the men would step up and start loving their wives sacrificially. Well, I'll do it. The Bible says I'm the head of the home. So I'll just do what I want. But Christ gave himself because of his love. So that means that a husband that's living at home is going to put the welfare of his wife above himself. So there goes selfishness, isn't it? Isn't that the cause of a lot of chaos and trouble in marriage? Is because of selfishness? But love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Providing leadership is something that the Lord entrusted to the husband. And that's not popular in the world today, but you see, this is a recipe for the best homes, for the home to be a refuge, a happiness. The Lord gave us these instructions. Providing leadership means something. It's kind of like Joshua said when he said, as for me and what? My house. What are we going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. I can't force my wife to serve the Lord. I can't force my children to serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, what goes on in the home, what we teach, and the standards and principles that we hold in the home were going to serve the Lord. That our home would be a reflection of what the Lord wants. And that is a place that many men are abdicating, if you will. They're turning over that place to the wives or just letting their children dictate what goes on in the home. Some say, well, I'm letting my children, they need to make their own decision. If they're not influenced in a godly manner by us as parents, they will and are being influenced by the philosophies of the world. So it's not that they're making their own decision. They're listening to what the world is saying. And so God has placed parents in the home to provide leadership and guidance and direction. As for me and my house, practical application in the home, where you go, what you do, what do you listen to, what do you watch? Husbands, the Lord has placed you in a position of leadership spiritually. That as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We are inundated with so much garbage out in the world. Why would we want to bring that into the home? If we're trying to teach our children to love the Lord, why would we allow the filthy music and the filthy things of this world to come in and try to draw a line and say, well, I'm not doing it, I'm just listening to it, or I'm just watching it. You see, the home is to be a haven. It's to be a refuge from that, and that responsibility starts with the husbands and with the fathers. As for me and my house, not dogmatically, not domineering, but with love and with consideration, and yet drawing some lines, not only in what we don't do, but in what we do. The wives should not have to pull the husbands kicking and screaming for family worship, saints. We're to be the head of the home, aren't we? Isn't that what the Scripture said? To be the head? That means in leadership. It means by example. So it means practically then in teaching and in devotion that as a family, we're going to take time to read the Word of God together. As a family, we're going to pray together. As a family, we're going to work for God together. Devoted. This is our home. And those are the principles that we raise our children in. I remember as a child, never one time, and I hope my children can say the same thing, I think they can, but never one time did we have to ask our parents, Rodney, do you ever remember asking mom and dad saying, are we going to church today? You ever remember that? Not one time. I mean, you had to have the flu very seriously or you were going to service, and maybe then anyway. The point being is, that there were some things established. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's not, brethren, let's not let it be that our wives say, oh, I'd rather just stay home and our wives are, oh, come on, we need to go. We need to go to serve. Come on, it's time to get up. It's, oh, Sunday school. No, as for me and my house. And that's our responsibility because we want the best for our children, but we're going to have to live it at home. We're going to have to set those standards and those parameters and in correction and in discipline. We say, well, I love him so much, I can't discipline him. That's not what the Scripture teaches. When you love, it brings discipline. And do you know that undisciplined children are not near as confident? They're not at peace. Even if they get their way, they are very discontent. Disciplined children make happy children. And that means being aware of what's going on. Parents, we need to be tuned in to our children. Be tuned in. It's fine. Go up. They have those earbuds in. It's all. Children, don't get upset. Young folks, your parent come in, just pluck one out. What are we listening to? Let me enjoy it with you. You see, that this is part of being responsible. There's much more that could be said on those lines, but living it comes back down to very basic things. Love, humility. I'll say about marriage and in parenting, we're not always going to get it right. We're going to make mistakes sometimes. But when your goal and when your purpose is to do it God's way, do you know what you'll find yourself doing? I'm sorry. Husbands, you want to be the head of the wife? You be the first to humble yourself. That's leadership. It's leadership when you don't understand her and she doesn't understand you, and it just seems like you're... We can sanctify this with our words all we want, but there's an issue. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm glad someone does. How do you handle it? Because issues will arise. There's going to be times that you just see it differently. So Lord, in those places, help me to live it at home. Loving, kind, long-suffering, humility. And so I'm the husband, so what's my place? Honey, I'm sorry. Not because what you did, but if you could have spoken a little more patiently, if you could have had more understanding, that is spiritual leadership. And this is what God will bless. I want to move on to the wives very briefly. I gave a lesson extensively to the men in Malawi one time. There were about 100 ministers there talking about marriage, and at the end of it, they said, we need to bring our wives next time. They thought it was time to move on. You know, let me share one other thing about that meeting. At the end, towards the end, there's room for questions, and a minister stood up. And this is reality in a lot of countries, and it's normally the other way, but this man said, what do I do when my wife beats me? And he was for real. My question for him to start with was, what do you do that makes your wife want to beat you? So we, in other words, and I know abuse is never right, never, never, ever. But as in conflict and in differences, we need to look to ourselves and say, how am I responding? What am I doing? And that's where we need to start. Lord, help me to be more like you. You'll find the Lord will bless that. Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Do you realize that this is part of living it at home? Is to recognize that my husband is in a place of leadership. The Lord placed him there, and that means then that a wife should be in a place of supporting the call of God on her husband's life. To step up and walk beside him. I don't want my wife walking behind me. And I don't want her walking in front of me. If she walks behind me, I'll stop and wait. And if she gets a little ahead, it's like, hey honey, I'm coming. The Lord wants us to walk together and work together as a team. But for anything to work properly in a team, there has to be a leader. And the Lord appointed that to the husband. And so to the wife then, he says, submit yourself to your husband. Honor that role that he has in the home. Don't be driven by the call of the world to an independence at the cost of God's design. You see, that's why even addressing these things is not popular. I remember as a child, our pastor, and this was a long time ago, and I remember him talking about how it wasn't popular because of the feminist movement in the world, how it had begun to affect the thinking of the saints. And that was probably 40 to 50 years ago that he said that. And I wonder what he would say today. Because we can hear so much of what the world is doing. But folks, it's not working. In the world, it's not working. So in the home, there should be a place of dependence. A wife that says, I'm not going to be dependent on any man. I'll make my own way and we'll coexist and we'll form what we want in our relationship. If it's outside of the order of the Lord, you're going to miss the strength and the blessings because God didn't give us anything to be a hardship. He said, this is a good way. This is a way of peace. This is a way that you can go to bed at night and rest and be comforted within yourself because you're in a team and unity before God. Respect is very important. You know, one of the things I think, and sisters, if you haven't learned this, maybe this will help. One of the things that will shut a husband or father down quicker than anything is for there to be disrespect shown. Doesn't even really matter what the issue is. When there's, I remember one time as a child, and parents, this is a good parenting tip. I remember one time I asked my mom about something, she said no. Okay, that situation passed. Well, the next week something else rose and I asked my dad. And it wasn't about the same thing, but I asked my dad, and he said, oh, yeah, I guess that's fine. And I must have just looked at my mom with a look of triumph. I don't know. But I'll tell you, I didn't get to do what I thought. Because they were a team. And if he saw even a look of disrespect, we learned very quickly that was not acceptable. Well, respect is so important in the home. And a wife, if she disrespects her husband, the children very quickly pick up on that. They very quickly pick up on disrespect. And it should be that there would be a place in our relationship with God that wives would show honor and respect to their husband. Speak honorably of him. Don't tear him down. Scripture in verse 33 said, see that she reverence her husband. In Titus, Paul taught us that a wife should be discreet, chaste, and a keeper at home. Do you realize that's the best recipe for a godly home, to be a refuge? And an environment that a wife creates in the home should be reflective of God's love. Because we can come to service again and have all the doctrines and theologies and praise, but when we go home, are we living it? Humility, love, kindness, long-suffering, patience, meekness. See, that's the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? I'll put that against any marriage seminar or family seminar that you can go to. Amen. Anytime. Fruit of the Spirit. So that means, Lord, help me to die out to self. That the fruit of the Spirit of God could work in my life. Proverbs 21:19 says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness. Y'all know what the rest of that verse says? Think there's a little cringe factor there? It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. In other words, sisters, let me just put it this way. You don't be the reason your husband wants to work overtime. Now you think about that a little bit. I'd rather work overtime, I'd rather stay in the office than go home because I know what I'm going to meet when I get home. You know that means something's wrong? It means that, Lord, help me as a husband or as a wife. And not to be that the wife is dreading, oh man, he's coming home. Okay, it's been peaceable all day. Now husband's coming home. There's going to be problems. Lord, help us all in the home, husbands, wives, parents, to get hold of this simple grace of God that when we are challenged by situations, that we would exercise that humility and love and forgiveness. Children, there is a very important role that you have in your home being a refuge. And if you have a desire to serve the Lord, this is one of the greatest things you can do in your service to God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's not even popular in our world today either. And he said, honor thy father and thy mother. Obedience is very important. Young people, children, he didn't put an age limit and said, well, 5-year-olds are to obey their parents. 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 16-year-olds. You want a happy home? Obey your parents. Honor them. When you get out on your own and you establish your own home, you can set the standards and parameters of your home. But as long as you are living in your parents' home, then you are under their authority and you ought to have enough respect, even if you disagree with them. Even if you think that maybe I think they're wrong there, to have enough respect and honor that position that they have to honor what they are doing to establish their home. Find that young people that learn and children to be obedient and honor their parents are so much happier. This is that home can be a refuge. You don't have to dread going home. And children can bring a lot of tension in homes. So you all have a great, you children, young folks, you have a lot of responsibility as well on what kind of environment you want to create in the home. So life is so much more pleasant when everyone is seeking for the grace of God to live it at home. When someone is not, I know there's many stories that can be told this morning about those that have been steadfast in grace when their husband or wife wasn't saved. And through time, God brought about spiritual change in the life of their companion. As we come to a conclusion this morning, basic Christian living, forgiveness. You know, to have a successful home, to live it at home, it means there's going to have to be forgiveness. And it means that sometimes you will not fully understand why certain things happen or why they think this way or why. But there's a place of forgiveness. The Lord wants to bless your homes this morning. And if there is strife in your home, the Lord has an answer for that. I remember an older brother. It was, again, we were children, and I still remember this story. He told about a sister that came to the altar and said, she said, I need to be sanctified. She said, I get so mad at my husband, and I throw things, and I get so mad. He said, sister, I'm going to have to be careful not to talk like him. He said, you don't need to be sanctified. He said, you need to be saved. You see, salvation brings about, it tempers our words. It tempers. But where there is still lacks, folks, those areas we can bring to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to help me with my words. Help me to have more understanding. Help me to have more of this grace, Lord. It's foundational. So in closing, in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 18, he said, my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Now, that particularly is first of all speaking of our spiritual relationship with God. Secondly, it is speaking about His church. That there be a peaceable habitation, a place of quietness, a place of rest. But do you realize God created the institution of the family before He created the church? He created the institution of the family. And that means that it is His purpose and His desire this morning for our habitation, physically, that it be quiet habitation, full of rest, quiet resting places. A godly home doesn't just happen this morning. It's built. It doesn't just happen. And it starts with us individually seeking God for the basic foundational graces. That it is a big word. But I want to challenge and encourage us in the Lord. Let's live it at home. Amen. Let's live it at home. And if there are sometimes there's maintenance that needs to be done, sometimes there are repairs that need to be taken care of, don't put them off. Because when you are happy in your home, you will find that the grass is greener. You can go out and face life, and you can feel empowered by the Lord and your family that we can face anything together. But if there is strife in the home, it's where the devil's working. And we could tell many, many stories this morning of where the enemy is working to destroy homes. Because if he can destroy the home, it'll destroy us as a people. So may the Lord help us to build a quiet and a peaceable habitation. Amen.